We continue our learning Le'ila Nishmas David ben Menachem Murashem Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyo. We're in Masters Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin. A little introduction just to understand the structure of the wine press known as the Gas or the Gat and the Beis Habad, the Olive Press. So the wine press had a Gas Eliyona, which was the upper area where they would press the grapes, and then through a tzinor, through some type of pipe, it went to the Gas HaTachtona, into the lower wine press, which was also called the Bor, which was a cistern. And there, the liquid, the wine, the grape juice, whatever, would ferment in that cistern, and the seeds and the peels would come up, would rise to the surface, and they were removed, they were skimmed off. And that process is important, as we'll see in the Mishnah. Then they would pour the juice into barrels, continue to ferment, and then any pulp that's left over would come to the surface. That is, and then, of course, that would be removed. That's the wine. What about oil? You had a Beis Habad, which was the oil press, but that first they would begin crushing olives with a mortar. That mortar was called a mamel or a memel, and then the pulp collected in an air in something called the uckel. The uckel is a sack. The sack was made out of ropes, and that was placed on what was called a yam, a surface. Then they would have a beam, and the beam would come and press the olives, lower, and it was lowered now. That beam was lowered to the sack. Oil would come out, and then that would flow through the oils in the sack into an uka, another structure. The uka was the trough, which was right in front of the olive press. Then there were impurities in the oil. Those came to the bottom, and the oil, of course, would rise to the top without any sediments. That is the Beis Habad. So when it comes to the wine press, again, we have the Gas HaElyona, the tzinor, the pipe, and on a sloped surface, and then into the Gas HaTachtona, or the bor. And when it comes to the oil, we have the memel, which is the mortar, and then the sack, which is the uckel, the surface, which is the yam, and then the trough, which is the uka. So our Mishnah begins to teach us when the maser, trumas and masros, process, when the gemar malacha really is for wine and oil. We know that's not grapes and olives. We know the gemar malacha is going to be much later than other types of produce. It says the Mishnah, hayayin mishe yekape. When is wine obligated to in trumas and masos? When you remove the seeds and the skins that came to the surface in the bor, in the cistern, in the gas hatachtona, as we had mentioned. Afalpi says the Mishnah, kol ashekipa, even though a person may have skimmed from the wine, kolate min hagas ha'elyona umin hatzinor vishosa. Aha. So even after the wine that's in the cistern now has gemar malacha, reached that particular stage, if you have wine that hasn't flowed into that area, that's still in the gas ha'elyona, in the upper wine press, so that's unprocessed. So you're not obligated to separate trumos and masros, and you'll be able to eat from that, drink from that, an achilas haroi, a snack, so to speak, in a casual way. So that is halacha namon. Hashem, and what about oil? Mishayered la uka. So we mentioned the uka. The uka is that trough at the end where it gathers, and the sediment is eventually removed. So that's when it reaches the gemar malacha. Once it comes into the trough, the bottom of the oil press, now it's obligated to trumas masos. Afal pisha yarad. Similar halacha as we had when it came to the wine. Even though the oil did come down into that area, into the uka, into the trough, notel min ha'akal, we mentioned the akal. The akal was that sack. So there may be oil in there, has a little bit of pulp in it, but there may be oil there. So a person is afal pisha yarad, no timon akal, even though the shem and the oil came down into the uka, into the trough. But if I'm in the upper area, the akal, I can take oil from there. Umin hamemel, right, mamel, that was the mortar from the top. Umi ben hapatsim, patsim, we didn't mention, patsim are boards. That are part of the oil press, and they're bricks that come from the oil press itself. So, or some say it's a beam, means is that when the olives are pressed, the oil flows into the trough, but not, as we said, into that uka, but not everything does. You have some that remains in the sack, and also that remains between these two boards. And so the Mishnah says that this, since it hasn't, this oil hasn't yet come down into the trough between the boards, mibein hapatzim, so a person is able to eat from those without a problem, without separating trumas amasos, can eat achilas arai. Fine. Then the Mishnah says, v'nosein lachamita ulatamchui. A chamita is translated as a wafer. What's happening here? And a tamchui is a plate or a terrine or whatever. So what does it mean? So Mishnah says like this. I have oil, and we said that the oil that's left over in the upper areas are, you're allowed to eat it as an achilas arai. It's not chayv in trumas masos yet because it's not in the uko all the way on the bottom. So the Mishnah is telling you that you're able to smear on to that oil. You're able to smear, you can smear hot water onto it if you want. If I have, let's say I have a wafer and I want to eat this wafer and I want it as achilas arai. So I have a hot wafer and I want to smear some oil on that. So that's okay. And I can even pour, the oil onto hot food that's come from a tamchui. So here, chamita, that's what a mishnah means. The no saying, when we speak about the oil that's in the uka, that you can't eat as a snack that's already, chayav in trumas masos. But the uka, the oil in the uka, the memel and between the patsim, that I'm allowed to use as an achilas arai, and I can even put them onto a wafer. I want to put oil on my wafer. And ulatamchui, if I have water, let's say hot water or hot food, and I want to put this in there, that's also allowed. And I can have that whole mixture, these two mixtures, as part of an achilas arai. Now, what it's saying here then is avaloyitain likderov alilfas. But you're not permitted to put the oil into a pot or a cooking pot or some type of frying pan when they are hot. So what's the problem? And that's usher even as an achilas arai. So what's this all about? Sounds almost like Hilchos Shabbos, talking about putting something hot and it's going to reach what we call yad soledesmo. We know that that's considered the level of cooking. Not exactly sure how much that is. Anywhere between like 100 or 100 degrees, 160 degrees, anywhere between that, 110, 120. What yad soledesmo is, it means where you touch something that's so hot and your hand recoils. So that's the halacha when it comes to bishul, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to basa b'chalav. But where do we need a halacha of bishul when it comes to trumas or masos? So the answer is, we mentioned that there are several things that are kovel amaser. We mentioned Shabbos as an example. We mentioned Riyas Pnei Habayis, that something is chayv in masos, even though you don't have the gemar malacha. In this case, this oil hasn't reached the gemar malacha because it's in the upper areas of the base habad of the olive press. Aha! But if it's cooked, so now it automatically reaches gemar malacha. We mentioned salting. We mentioned, as we said, Shabbos. So too, cooking can do the same thing. And that's why it's important to know what I'm putting in it. If I have I have a hot wafer, the hot wafer is in, let's say, in a kli sheni. It's not in a kli rishon. It's not going to be that hot. So that's not going to be an issue of yad soledesmo. But if I put it in the frying pan, these are a kli rishon, so now I have to be concerned that it's going to. We have the hot mixture, whatever's in it. I have the food that I'm cooking, the water that I'm making in there. That's a problem. Now the tamchui is a kli sheni, so that's not able to cook. That's why the Mishnah says, Kedera and Ilfas, Lilfas, that's a problem, that's a Kli Rishon. But a Tamchui, where the wafer is, or the Chamita, the Tamchui is the terrine, the Chamita is the wafer, so these don't have the capacity to cook. They're in Kli Sheni, so that's why that's permitted. So that's what the Mishnah means. Here I have oil, and the oil has not reached Gemar Malacha because into the upper areas of the olive press. So then I should be able to eat them. Yes, and you can even mix them with these other foods as long as you're not officially halachically cooking them. Because once you halachically cook them, where you put them in a kli rishon, so now it's cooked and it's kavel amasos. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, no, lakol hu no sein, chutz midavashi eshbo chometz vitzir. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, You can put it into anything. You can put this oil into anything. He believes you can even place the leftover oil in any utensil, right? Even the cooking pot, even the frying pan, as long as it's not al gabe ha'esh, as long as there's been room from the fire. Al gabe ha'esh, that's cooking even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, and it's koveh al ha'masros. But if it's removed, the concept of Kli Rishon, he believes Kli Rishon is not Mevashel. We hold Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. But Kli Rishon is Mevashel, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. But, Rabbi Yehuda, if there's Chomes and Seer, there's vinegar or brine, so Rabbi Yehuda says that this is an exception. Here, if I have unprocessed oil, but I put it in a Kli Rishon, it could be off the fire. If there's vinegar or brine in there, so because they're so sharp, now the hot water is able to cook even more. So now, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, if there's chometz and seer in the water, in a Kli Rishon, now even he agrees that that would cook it. And therefore, the cooking process is considered like a gemar malacha, and it is a chiv to separate masos, so you can't eat from this mixture an achilas aroi without separating shumos and masos. Perak Aleph Mishnah Ches. So ha'igul misheyach alikenu. So we're back to the fruits. Here we're speaking about figs, and we're going to figs. We know that people usually, when it came to figs, people would make them into fig cakes. Igule devela we speak about. So here, when we take fruits generally, so if I have fruits that are going to be, we dry the fruits, they're collected into a pile, figs are one example of that. So, and they would press them. So Mishnah says, if I have a round cake of figs, ha'igol, mishyach likenu, they're considered a gemar malach and chayv in trumas and masos, once you machalik, literally means to smooth out. When you put a glaze, you glaze the surface by putting some fruit juice on top of it, so it looks shiny. So that is considered the gemar malach when it comes to a fig cake. So if you have figs that have been dried and pressed in a fig cake, so the gemar malach is not there until you glaze it with fruit juice. That's the Mishnah here. Then Mishnah continues, machalikim ebite'enim uva'anabim shel tevel. Once we're on the topic of glazing fruit, so it says here, if I have figs or I have grapes and I want to... No, if I have fruit, rather. If I have figs, rather, and I want to glaze it with grapes or figs that are... I have a fig cake, so I want to take other figs or grapes that are tevel so that the juice squeezes out onto the fig cake. Says the Mishnah, fascinating. Since the juice doesn't turn into juice, it goes straight onto the fig cake, it's like absorbed right in and doesn't turn into juice, so therefore this is not a problem of tevel. Normally tevel, I have to say petrumos and masros from it. So no, the answer is if it's going straight into the food, doesn't have the status of tevel, and I don't have to worry about it at all in terms of hilchos trumos and masros. It's very similar to the halacha you have when it comes to the malach of mefarik, of dush, when it comes to, let's say, extracting on Shabbos. We can't milk a cow, we can't squeeze a grape. So the halacha is that, technically speaking, if I want to squeeze a grape, let's say, so to turn grape into a, squeeze a grape into a liquid, that's an Isser D'oraisa of Shechita, which is in the category of dush, of threshing. That's prohibited D'oraisa. Other fruits may be D'rabbanan, but we certainly can't squeeze. But let's say I'm squeezing it right on into a solid where it never went into a clean, never turned into a liquid. Kind of went straight into a solid. I squeeze, I milk the cow, and the milk goes straight into the cereal, into the oatmeal. I'm sure everyone would enjoy that. So that is not the problem of mefarik because it never turned into a liquid. We have this halacha when it comes to tea. People may know the fact that I was squeezing a lemon into the tea directly on Shabbos, it's a problem. But if I squeeze the lemon into sugar, into the solid, so that's less of an issue. So here too, the tevil problem doesn't exist because I never turned it into its liquid. Rabbi Yehuda Oser, Rabbi Yehuda says that's not allowed. Rabbi Yehuda says not. He says the juice is considered tevil even in such a circumstance, even though it never officially turned into a liquid, and of course, you have to separate trumos and masros from it. Mishnah continues, ha'machlik ba'anovim lo huchsha. Now, another halacha, I'm using grapes, and I'm using the grapes to glaze, to smooth out on top of a surface. So he says that does not make the food that I have susceptible to tumah. Why not? We've said that grape juice is one of the seven liquids that's makshir foods to become tame. Why not? So the answer is the same thing. It never turned into a liquid, according to the Tanakhama, same concept. Another application of the same idea. Since it never officially became a liquid, it went straight from the fruit onto the surface. That's not good. It has to turn into a liquid first, into a cup, let's say, and then it touches the surface. That's machshir lekabel tumah. And of course, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hukhshar. Rabbi Yehuda says, as he said in the previous case, such a case, halacha, the grapes would be machshir, would prepare the surface of the food to be mekabel tumah. Hagrogros, the Mishnah continues, going back to the laws of Trumos and Masos, I have dried figs, Mishe Yadush. They are considered, they're not made into a cake. So what's the Gemar Malacha of them? That's when you squash them. Yadush literally means to press them, to trot upon them, into a barrel. So that's, once I pack them in tightly to a barrel, that's when it is Gemar Malacha. Umigura. And let's say I don't take the figs, put them in a barrel, I'm putting them into a storeroom. Umigura. So then, Misha Ya'agel. When I smooth out the pile, that's when the Gemar Malacha applies, and Trumos and Masos, a person is obligated to separate. Hayadash Bichabis Uma'agel Bimigura. He have a person, he's pressing figs into a barrel or smoothing in the pile in the storeroom. So he hadn't finished the process completely yet. And lo and behold, Nishpura HaChavis or V'niftecha Magura. The barrel broke or the storehouse broke, and now I can't use either of them anymore. So what's the halacha regarding the fruit that's there, the figs that are there? Says the Mishnah, lo yochal mehem arai. You're not permitted to eat a snack without separating masos. Why? You didn't do the Gemar Malacha. You didn't finish packing them or piling them. Doesn't matter, right? Because the Mishnah says, because here you did pack, you piled, and the ones that are processed have to have masos separated, even though you didn't finish the entire room or the entire barrel. Rabbi Yossi Mati, Rabbi just says, no, it's okay. You can have them as a snack. But why? Because the process is not completed until I'm done with everything. That's the way you understand it. I planned on adding more figs to the barrel or more in the pile. And only at that point would it be chayev. Since obviously the Chachamim say no, don't tell me that the bottom figs are affected by the upper figs. Rabbi Yossi says yes, they are. And when you press things down, so we know that the lower figs, if I'm pressing more on top, they're going to get lower. They're going to be pressed even more. So how could you say there's a Gemar Malacha yet when there's still more pressing for them to do?